Geeks. Geeks.
Hey guys, do you like video games? Do you like heavy metal? Comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Time to rock out with your geek out. Metal Geeks! Welcome, Geekazoids. Here are your hosts, Carrie G and John Michael. Geek it out, fellas!
What up, this is Jay Muse, and you're listening to Metal Geeks Podcast. I mean, rock out with your geek out. Snooch to the nooch.
Welcome, my friends, to a brand new episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie G. Unfortunately, my other co-host, Mr. JM Metal Geek, is not here this evening. He is busy doing some family things. And this actually turns out to be the week of E3. And I would definitely be remiss if we didn't have some video game discussion going on. So, to make up for my one co-host, I had to replace him with four people.
With our powers combined,
wow.
We make a co-host.
Right?
Like Voltron.
Let's introduce everybody from... let's start off with Mr. JD from thealtness.com. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for coming on, because we've definitely had some video game discussion the past couple days. So
yeah, just something, a little thing, you know.
Just a couple things. And then I have a brand new guy to the show. His name is Steven, and he is one of the new writers for the Metal Geeks website.
Hi,
welcome, Steven.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I know you've been catching up with E3 as well, huh?
Yeah, watched everything. Finally caught up on Nintendo late Monday night. I believe it was. Sorry. Tuesday night.
Sorry. Yeah, it all sort of blends together after a couple of hundred trailers, you know?
Yeah.
And then, not last, but not least, it's Mr. David Amar. Dave, or as we know him, is the owner and proprietor of Geekazoid.
Hey, how's it going?
He is one of our sponsors, and he did not pay to be here.
That is correct.
Thank you for being here, sir.
I'm thrilled to be here. I'm excited to finally get a chance to come on and talk with you.
Yeah, man. We've been friends for a while, and we have a lot of in common. Video games, metal, Disney, all that stuff.
Yep, we are metal and Disney geeks. That's kind of a weird combination. But you know what? I think there's a lot more of us than we would tend to let on.
There is. And Steven is one of those metal Disney geeks.
Oh, yeah?
Well.
Cool.
Yep.
And he's luckier than both of us because he actually lives in Orlando, so.
About 40 minutes away.
That's 40 minutes closer than I live. But last but not least, let's introduce the, I guess, my better half. It's my co-host of life.
Wow, okay.
It's
That's
my
a
wife.
Really long show.
Right. I don't think we have enough time for that here.
She is actually my heterosexual life mate.
That's right.
Let's introduce everybody to Kim, who's been on the show before.
Yes, Kim, and also known as River Dragon 169.
Right, and you are indeed a metalhead, and as well, you are a video game geek like us.
That's right, metalhead, gamer, chick. Whedon fanatic, Whovian, all the above.
Oh yeah, I hear about that shit every day.
That's right.
So, first question of the evening. Well, let's before we move on to some questions and some topics, let me give a little bit of a house cleaning here. Thank you everybody for tuning into the last episode where we covered Comic Palooza like crazy. There was a few editing mishaps that occurred. But we're going to leave it as is because I think the interviews speak for themselves, basically. And happy birthday today to one of our guests from that last episode, Mr. Jason Muse, turns 40 today.
Yay, happy birthday.
Yay.
Congrats.
Snooch.
Snoochies. And also, we also promised that this next episode was going to be all about comic books and As you can see, that's not happening. But we're waiting for JM Metal Geek to get back because he has a lot of stuff for me to read. So we will actually wait for him to come back on the show. And we will spend the next episode geeking it out comic book style. So, thank you to my sponsors. Number one, thank you to Geekazoid. If you are looking for high-quality vinyls and stickers and buttons and what else do you guys do?
Yeah, we do decals and buttons. We do T-shirts. We are getting into doing some other new stuff. Not quite available yet online, but we're going to be doing cell phone covers and bracelets and earrings and all kinds of geeky accessories.
What about condoms?
Nothing in the pipeline for geeky condoms yet.
So. That'd be really cool to get a stormtrooper head at the tip.
Not at the level of Kiss with condoms. Mix that or coffins. So yeah.
Right. Yeah, you need to get into condoms and coffins now. Next.
That's womb to tomb. There you go.
Oh, womb to tomb.
Womb to tomb. Thank you very much. So thank you guys for being one of our sponsors. And if you need anything, let everybody, I'll let you do the shilling now. Where can everybody contact Geekazoid?
Okay. We are online. Website is I Love Geekazoid. That's going to redirect you to our shop. We're also available on all of your major social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at I Love Geekazoid. And, yeah, hit us up. I'm there. I'm on Twitter mostly. I'm there to have conversations with our geeky friends, so please get on there and tell me why I'm wrong about things and have a little back and forth. And, yeah, if you need custom work done, hit us up. We like doing that custom work.
Oh, yeah. I know you do. Yeah, thank you guys for actually doing some buttons and some little vinyl cutouts for Metal Geeks podcast that we gave out at Comic Palooza, and it really, really helped, man.
Great.
So thank you.
Yeah.
Before we move on, we have one more sponsor to thank, and that is TheVinylDead.com. They're your one-stop shop for all your vinyl toy needs, except Vinylmation, unfortunately. If you're looking for a Funko Pop or anything along those lines, the perfect place to go to. And you can save yourself 10% by using the discount code MetalGeeks10. Because, you know, it's all about saving some money, you know what I mean?
That's right.
I like money.
That's right. I like saving it.
Money, I like toils.
I like spending it and then saving it at the same time.
It's a vicious cycle.
I know, it is a vicious cycle. So, let's move on to the vicious cycle of video games at E3.
That is also true.
So, let's go down the row. Everybody's opinion of the different press conferences. Let's start with Microsoft. Let's go with Kim first.
Oh, shoot. Why do you make me start first? I thought it was cool. You know, I watched it. I had to watch it twice. First time I watched it was at work, you know, the morning. Had my little window open at work, acting like I'm actually working something. Hopefully my boss isn't listening. But, you know, I thought it was cool. It was nice to see everything. Assassin's Creed. It was nice. Of course, Halo. Halo fangirl, so I love that. As soon as the music started playing, you get all goosebumps and like, oh my gosh, it's Halo, you know. So I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
What I enjoyed about it is they said, okay, our press conference today is going to be about the video games, 90% of what's coming out this year, and the rest is stuff coming out in the future. And they delivered on that promise, which is pretty rare for a press conference. There was no boring stats or numbers or any of that. No, TV, TV, TV. It was all video games all the time.
Yeah. They swapped from like last year, how Sony did last year, you know.
Yeah, they had to make up for that from last year, I think.
They have to make up a whole entire year. They're very behind the curve. Their deal, they really kicked it out of the park.
I was floored by the Crackdown announcement.
Oh, yes. Yes.
No gameplay, but do you really need to see gameplay footage? You know exactly what you're getting
into. Exactly.
It really brought me back when I heard those orbs. I'm like,
Yes.
That sound, though. Yes. Oh, my God.
I want that on my cell phone.
they have a pity buy for me right there.
Love that.
So, JD, what was your overall opinion about the press conference?
The press conference was really well. They didn't have any technical problems with it. Compared to the other competitor out there.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
But, you know, they pushed out games. They pushed out COD right from the gate, which was kind of cool. It was also kind of expected. But
sure, yeah. playing it safe a little bit there.
Yeah,
they were playing it.
Well, it was the surefire. Oh, let's get the big game out there and let me show everything else in the same deal too. I quite enjoyed it. It was short, sweet. It was fast. You didn't get bored with some of the parts. I give it a thumbs up. I approve.
Yay. I mean, it looked like a cool. I mean, it's Call of Duty. I think we talked about this on the Ultimate Live show. I'm not really big into multiplayer games because I just don't have the time. If I want to sit down and play a video game, I'm going to play something that's a single player experience.
Yeah.
And if they want to throw some multiplayer type aspects to it, I'm fine with that. But
What was really cool about the conference too is they didn't shove down just multiplayer games out there. They gave like a wide range between, you know, the Halo collection and the gameplay for Sunset Overdrive. That was really impressive.
Yeah.
That came.
Yeah.
I think the people at Insomniac have a good lifeline going for them with this game particularly.
I am a huge fan of Insomniac. I love the Ratchet and Clank games, and this looks like it's going to be a fun action game, and the weapons, I mean, look at the pedigree of their games before. They know what they're doing, and it comes out in September of this year. That's quick.
Yeah. Who knows? Like, I feel bad because, like, the other games that they've done, like Resistance and Ratchet and Clank, they're not as getting as much hype. They never got as much hype for this. But now that they have Sunset Overdrive, this is going to be a star title. I see this game, you know, 3-4 years down the line, having sequels.
It's going to be like Crackdown. It's going to have this huge, like, underground following in the beginning, and it's just going to get super big. I mean, how can you beat being able to grind on a roller coaster in a video game and shoot weird mutant things at the same time? Come on.
Definitely looked interesting.
Two of your favorite things.
Riding roller coasters and shooting at mutants?
That's right.
Exactly.
It
is like the Men in Black ride. If only there were Nazi mutants, that'd be even better.
Oh, even better.
But we don't know. We don't know the storyline. There could be Nazis in the game.
Nazis. Yeah.
Nazis. Damn Nazis. So let's move on to Steven. What was your overall opinion?
All right. Basically, as soon as they made the announcement for the Halo, you know, gigantic collection, I was pretty excited over that, although that was all but confirmed probably a few weeks before.
Yeah, but we didn't know to what level, though.
But the announcement, and then now I'm finding out more info that it's coming in at $60. It's a pretty solid price for that collection.
I mean, you look at the collection, you get all four Halo games, even the anniversary editions. You get 100 different maps to play, and you can play those in any order you want.
4,000 achievement points. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Okay. I know a couple of achievement whores that are going to really be going for those. And, you know, there's you get the beta for Halo 5. You're going to get the access to the Ridley Scott-directed Halo movies or shorts or whatever they're going to be. I mean, it's a pretty good package, even though you played all these games before many times over. Some of those games, like, I think I was talking about this on the Surly Nerd, which we recorded the other night, is the servers for the first two games haven't been turned on in a long time.
Are they using the same servers for that?
No, this is going to be, from what I hear, it's a dedicated server for just this game.
Okay.
Nice.
So, shouldn't hopefully not be any lag, but, you know, we don't know.
Did you hear about those people that held onto the servers, like 2 days after, and they couldn't shut them off?
Yep, they're still playing on it.
Yeah, they were holding out so hard for it, but, you know, they had to pull the plug sometime.
So, let's move on to Dave. What was your overall opinion?
I thought they did a really good job. I don't know about everyone else, but I am not in the current gen of consoles yet. I'm still holding on to my 360. And up to this point, I haven't really been convinced that I need an Xbox One. I'm leaning more Sony side for this next generation whenever I get around to that. I don't know when that's going to be. But Microsoft came with some pretty impressive stuff. Theirs was one of the press conferences I watched. I haven't watched all of them, but I did watch Microsoft's. And I like seeing the range of play styles of the games that they showed, because I think of Microsoft and what they push on their Xbox games as being a lot of the really Call of Duty shooter stuff. And so what I saw in their presentation was a pretty wide range of play styles, and I really liked that.
Let's talk about some of the games that they did have on stage. So we already talked a little bit about the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which the name sort of confused me, because wasn't there an Advanced Warfighter before?
It was Modern Warfare, Warfare 2.
It all gets... Yeah.
Advanced. I think that was another game. Like,
there was an Advanced Warfare.
Recon
Advanced. Yeah, it was the Ghost
Warfare.
Recon one.
Yeah, there it is.
Grawl. Okay. Yeah, Grawl. That's what it was. Grawl. So, yeah, that's why I got a little confused. I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't there already a game called this? But so, Forza Horizon 2, anybody excited for that?
Yes.
Yay.
And no.
Not a car person.
Not really a racing game guy.
Racing game, I start out and I'm pretty excited for it, and then I start playing it, make it like three races in, and I'm done.
Yep,
Terry,
that's pretty much.
You said it the best on the other show. If it's not Burnout, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though the Forza Horizon is supposed to be a little bit different than just a regular sim game, I do not like simulation racing games. I mean, if I want a simulation racing game, I'm going to drive my real car somewhere. let's move on.
From Forza to GTA, because you only could go so far without getting ranked.
Let's move on to Evolve. And there's somebody on this panel that's actually played this game a little bit. Let's let them talk about it then.
Is that me? Because I played
that would
it.
Be that's you.
No, because I got to play it during PAX East, and that game is quite amazing. It's for anyone that has been living under a rock or doesn't watch TV for the last 4 days, Evolve is a four different soldiers versus one monster in the wilderness, and the odds are stacked against the monster at first for being a low level, and then it eats and attacks different things and grows at a rapid rate to stack against these four people. So the announcement for E3 is they did the Kraken, which is a flying Kraken. I don't know why they're calling it Kraken. The guys over here, we've been calling it Cthulhu.
Thank you. That's what I called it.
That's what it really is.
That's what I called it, yeah.
Unleash the Kraken.
Like.
Yeah, it flies, it shoots lightning, and it's terrifying, and it has six eyes. Four eyes. I don't know.
Cthulhu. Yeah.
It's Cthulhu.
There's a call.
So that was the one that's made by the same team that did Left 4 Dead, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So it's kind of like that in Left 4 Dead 2 where you could play as the specials. It's kind of that same idea a little bit.
And imagine of just playing a really overgrown Hulk versus four people.
And there's going to be a lot of people screaming, "Reloading! Reloading!"
Yep.
"He's after me! He's shooting fire! I'm scared!"
Mommy.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, but I mean, that game has got huge reprises for this year. They won a bunch of awards. GameSpot gave it Game of the Year at E3 2014. I have a buddy of mine. I actually got to meet him over at PAX East. He works for 2K for the game. I think they were ranging at like 15 medals by the end of yesterday.
Wow.
So that's the game you guys need to look for. I am not paid by them whatsoever, but I'm saying this game is going to be it.
Do you think this game is going to have, pardon my pun, but is it going to have legs? Is it going to last for a while?
I think it will, and I'm going to say this on your podcast. I said it on my other podcast I was on. If they put DLC content, and if I see Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and the Ghostbusters in here, it will churn money.
Nice.
That's printing money right there, sir.
Yes.
All right, so moving on, I guess next up is Assassin's Creed Unity. I don't like that name. I understand where they're going with it because it's a four-player co-op multi-like story mode and all that, which looks really cool. What do you guys think of this game? And, like, do they need an Assassin's Creed every year, really?
Now they do, apparently.
Apparently.
Becoming like the Call of Duty where every year, or like Madden, every year they have one out. I'm still like three games behind. I haven't even finished Revelations or something like that. So
I really like the 4, which is the pirate version. I mean, I like pirate games, and they did a really good job on that game, even though it still has some of the problem that all the Assassin's Creed games have. And you can see that in the trailer for this game, you know, getting stuck on a wall, not jumping down correctly. There's a lot of little things that they've never fixed.
And I think that's a Ubisoft thing, in my opinion. Like, Watch Dogs suffers the same thing, too. Like, there's times when I'm hiding in cover, and I'm like, all right, he needs to shoot, and he hops over the box. I'm like, no, don't do that. You're going to die. Don't pull out your phone. Shoot something. Oh, God damn it.
And I've worked in video games where, you know, sometimes things will get bugged, and if it's not a major game-crashing bug, and if it's not worth the time and effort and money to fix, it doesn't get fixed. And that's probably what's going on here. It's, let's spend the money and the time to make a beautiful co-op game, and all those other little things, people just have to deal with it.
Yeah, let's give them 50 shades of different palettes of tunics they could wear.
Right.
I guess the bugs haven't been hurting the franchise for money, for sure. I mean,
no.
Now I haven't played an Assassin's Creed game since the second one, and I didn't even play a whole lot of that one. But I played the first one to like 100%. I found all the stupid little flags all over the place. I enjoyed the game, but I felt like burnt out on it. And I started playing the second one, and I didn't feel like there was enough different about it that it really hooked me. So I haven't really stayed interested in the series. However, with Black Flag last year, that looked cool.
Black Flag.
That looked cool to me. And then, so that got me interested. And then this new one that they announced this year actually does look really cool. So I'm kind of getting interested in Assassin's Creed again as a result.
So. I mean, just the sheer amount of characters they had on screen at some of these shots, I mean, it was pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I don't know if it's a day one, because I think I said this on a different podcast, Ubisoft. If you buy it day one, you're stupid. wait about a month or 2 months, and it'll be $20, $30 off already.
Yeah.
But like I said, I bought Watch Dogs, so.
Yeah, I bought the big-ass box of Watch Dogs, too.
Dude. I luckily didn't. I have not went back to that game, though, and it's been like a week.
I've only played truthfully half an hour of it before I had to go on a trip somewhere.
Yeah, I think I played about an hour. Yeah,
I'm 6 hours in. The problem with the game is that it just doesn't hold me. You finish a story, you have no emotional attachment to the character. It's either, okay, you got kidnapped, I guess I have to figure you out, or I'm going to play three-card Monty with that dude in the corner.
So the game doesn't hold you at night? Is that what you really
mean? No, it doesn't hold me.
Doesn't spoon you.
Doesn't tell me I'm pretty.
Oh, what a horrible game. Because you know what spooning leads to, right?
Yeah, slippage.
Nope, spooning leads to forking.
What?
Spooning leads to forking.
Oh, okay. I thought you said twerking, and I'm like...
It can lead to twerking.
No, twerking leads
to forking. Get Miley out of here.
Right.
We already talked a little bit about Sunset Overdrive. I'm looking forward to that game. Let's talk about Dragon Age Inquisition. And this is where I'm going to have to put in the song from the Inquisition from History of the World Part 1. Or 2, I'm sorry.
I have nothing to say about the game.
I've never
played this series, so...
It looks Dragon Age-y.
I've never played a Dragon Age game. I'm probably going to get martyred at the stake for saying that as well. But the game really reminds... The fact that like there's a scene where they're fighting a dragon, and it looks really, really cool. And it reminds me of other games that are in the same fashion.
Yeah.
Like Monster Hunter, Fantasy Star Online, those kind of games. And I was like, how come that game looks so pretty? How come I can't get my games that I like to look that pretty? So I'm kind of jealous a little bit. I kind of want to play it, but I feel like I'm just jumping the bandwagon if I haven't played the first two.
Right, right. I mean, it's more of... I played the first one. I didn't go all the way through it. I tried Dragon Age 2, which was very rushed, And so hopefully they take the time on this one. They actually make it decent, because there is a place for these type of games, but it seems like none of us is the right place for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't belong in this Skype call.
Right. So let's move on. Dead Rising 3, which is something really cool. They released a game called Super Ultra Dead Rising Spree Arcade Remix Hyper Edition EX Plus Alpha.
Umlaut? No.
Ridiculous.
Umlaut. And the trailer was great. It's a. If you are a Capcom fan, this is fan service to every single, you know, Capcom game from the past. It has Street Fighter stuff in it. It has Dino Crisis, Rival Schools, Mega Man, Captain Commando, anything you can think of.
Final Fight.
Was there Final Fight in there? I didn't catch Final Fight. I didn't see that one.
One of the characters you can actually unlock is Hagar.
I did see that. Yeah, okay. I remember that now.
Well, it's the characters cosplaying as other characters.
Right.
So, but the great thing about it, it's out the same day as the conference. They're like, oh, available soon. Wait a minute. No, available now.
That was cute. Yeah.
That was awesome.
If you own Dead Rising 3 and you are a fan of these old Capcom games, it's definitely worth the $10 entry fee, because I'm having a blast.
Because I got rid of Dead Rising.
I would get it back just for this game, sir.
It is worth it. Like,
it looks amazing.
Yeah.
I wish you didn't have to have Dead Rising 3 to play it, because more people need to play it.
Yeah.
But it uses, like, the, you know, the assets from the game, which I can understand.
So is it a system seller? Is that piece of content worth the price of admission for a console?
Not for a console, not unless
you're a super Capcom fan.
Right. If you already own an Xbox One, you don't own Dead Rising 3 at this point, go ahead and get it on the cheap and then buy the DLC.
Or wait for the PC version.
Or wait for the Ultimate Edition that's going to have all this included.
Like that every other game does. But no, Dead Rising 3 also got announced for PC as well, come later this summer.
Oh, I must have missed that part.
They didn't announce that piece of content in the conference, but they released, like, I think a week before that it was going to happen.
So, moving on, I guess the only company doing Kinect games came out, Harmonix. They didn't really talk about Disney Fantasia Music Evolved that much. They showed, like, a splash screen. But I actually got to play it a little bit at D23 last year. It's a weird thing for me, because I love Harmonix. I actually worked on Rock Band for about a year. And, you know, I'm a big Disney nerd, but I don't know if this game is for me, even.
I skipped over that part of the press conference, honestly. I was like, I don't care, and I just skipped it.
What is that sound?
That is a jet flying over my house. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Let me,
The NSA needs to be a little bit more sneakier.
I know, right?
They're just not even trying anymore.
Wow, dude. Do you hear that all the time?
No, but I'm not far from, there's a military airfield not far from my house, so when they do come by, it's usually pretty loud.
Wow, that would be loud. All right, thank you to them for interrupting our podcast. I'm sure they did it on purpose.
Probably.
They wanted us to stop talking about Disney Fantasia, right? Basically.
The Skylanders.
Right. Dance Central Spotlight, let's just move on from there.
Yeah.
It's for somebody, just not us.
Yeah, not for any of us.
Too bad for that.
No.
I don't have rhythm.
There you go. I'll say the rhythm part.
Your skin pigmentation doesn't allow you to move in such ways.
We're metalheads. We don't dance.
We dance from the... metalheads dance from the neck up.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about Fable Legends. Or let's not. What do you think?
So I've never played a Fable game. Not because I wasn't interested, I've just never gotten around to it.
This is totally different, apparently. This is a dungeon crawler type of game that one guy can actually control what the levels look like a dungeon master.
I actually listened to you and James talking about it. I didn't listen to that whole show, but I heard that part of it. And where he said this is basically Dungeons & Dragons for people who won't admit that they like to play Dungeons & Dragons.
It really is.
It totally is, yeah.
This game would work. This game is designed for the Wii U. One person controlling the game on the gamepad, and the other people playing the game. I don't know how to understand how they're going to do it on the Xbox One.
To me, it doesn't look like a Fable game at all. It's like, there's this cool game. Hey, let's just slap Fable's name on it to get more people to buy it. That's what it looks like to me.
It's like Star Fox for GameCube.
It's just, you know, it just...
Yes.
Or like the... What?
Star Fox Adventures?
Is that what it was?
I don't know. It wasn't very adventurous.
It looks, in the overall scheme of things, it looks fun. I have not been a fan of the Fable series since Fable 2.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. So same watching here. This, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool spin to it. I don't know if it's going to... I don't know if I'm going to be the guy that's going to pay $60 to play that game.
No. No, definitely not.
But that's it looks like a really, really detailed and hyped up, Xbox Live game to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the Gauntlet game from some time ago.
And it used to have like a $40 price tag, and then I think maybe people will bite the bullet a little bit better. But full price, I don't think it's not going to be a seller.
Yeah, unless you're that hardcore. Even Peter Molyneux is not even attached to this project.
No, he's no longer involved with that company at all.
No, he's with 99 Cans, what it's called.
Something like that. So let's move on to Project Spark. They touched upon that, and they introduced that Conker is going to be in the game, which is weird. And I've been in the beta for Project Spark, and I don't know how much I can say, but not too exciting.
I've been in the beta and have not done anything with it.
I played it once, and I was like, okay, that was it. All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
It seemed like there was a lot of emphasis this year from a lot of... user created content. It seemed like there was a lot of that going around.
Really, there really is. And Project Park, Nintendo had the Mario level game. You can create your own level.
Mario Maker.
Yeah,
Mario Maker. I mean, there's Little Big Planet, which is, you know, I don't want to waste my time designing a level. I want to play something that's already been designed.
Yeah.
Because they get paid to do it. I don't.
Exactly.
Well, I see why they're trying to cash in on it. I mean, look at Minecraft.
Yeah.
And that was actually Kotaku made an article on it. That was the loneliest booth in E3. Like, they had a setup for it.
Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, not one person was online just to play it on the new systems.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's fucking Minecraft.
It's not an 8-year-old kid playing it.
It's so popular. It makes so much money.
It makes so much money, but I don't think it's going to be like, I'm going to go to E3 to play the same game that I played on my, on my iPad, on my Xbox, whatever.
I can just pull my phone out of my pocket and play the game right now.
Exactly. So that was the loneliest booth there, but like they're trying to cash in on the user-generated content. I mean, look at they were driving Little Big Planet into the ground, for God's sakes.
And they said, oh, yeah, we'll get to Sony, but they said that Media Molecule was not going to be there, and they fucking lied. They just straight out lied, and they brought out, a way too long playthrough of people that were horrible at the game, and they made the game.
Yeah.
You think they would have better people playing the game, but
they brought the QA in.
Apparently, no, QA is good at the game because they actually play it.
That's true.
So, is anyone else on here on this user generated thing? I don't know if that's too much right now, but is anyone else on here a heavy PC gamer?
I play. I dabbled in the PCs.
Yeah,
I should be. I just never use it for that.
Just because what I see with all this user generated stuff is something that's been going on in PC gaming for ages, which is modding, and all this user generated stuff has been going on, since Doom, at least, and probably earlier than that. But
look at Gary's mod. There's a whole culture for that too.
Right. And right. So it seems like that is, they're maybe trying to intentionally make that spill over into the console market in a way that they kind of control, you know, because really that's the only way you can do it. I mean, you can mod all kinds of stuff on a PC and kind of get away with it, but it's a lot harder to do that on a console. So they're kind of bleeding that market over by making
like
it
a lazy man's.
Well, it is, but they're providing you the tool set, but giving you kind of a way to do it, which I don't know. I think that's interesting. On some level, is it $60 retail interesting? No. Probably not. But I don't know. I'm interested in it. I'm kind of curious to see where that goes. And I don't know. Could be fun.
Yeah.
If Microsoft was smart, I would think they would put Project Spark on PC and able to cross their content into the gaming world, into the console world, because to me, designing anything on PC would be so much easier than to move the analog, hit A to grab the bush, put it over there.
Right.
I don't know. And plus, the dev kits are all from PC going into the console generations. So.
Right. So let's move on to, there was a bunch of indie games that they were showed off a little bit at Microsoft. Ori and the Blind Forest looks really, really cool.
Really cool
art style to that. Funny. Yeah, and it's a Metroidvania style game. I'm sold right there. Let's see, Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm looking forward to another Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
I don't like that name. That right name does not work.
Was it like a prequel or?
It's not a prequel.
It's post. Yeah, it's a sequel, but it says Rise.
She was going through therapy.
About how much her life sucks.
So the name Rise makes it sound like a prequel, but yeah.
Right. It just doesn't. The name doesn't make sense, but I am looking forward to that game, and that game won't be out for a long time. So
yeah, looking forward to that too.
Have any of you guys played the Witcher games?
I haven't played any of them.
No.
Me either.
No, sir.
Moving on.
Dead air.
Apparently, Witcher 3 is coming out, Wild Hunt, and people are really excited for it.
It looks like a lot of fun.
It does. Yeah. It looks pretty cool. I agree.
So, is this something you might pick up, even though you've never played the originals?
That's really hard for me to do, because I'm that guy that's like, well, now I have to go back to the beginning and play all the way through, and
yeah.
I don't know if it's that interesting for me. I don't know enough about the series, but some of the things I've seen from The Witcher 3 do look pretty cool. So,
all right, so Phantom Dust was announced. Let's move on from there. What about The Division? What do you guys think of that game?
I have one little concern about the game. Besides, the pro about it is it looks amazing. It looks like a lot of fun. It really brings people together to communicate, to really immerse you into the world that it creates. My gripe is that from the tech demo or from the demo that they showed last year compared to this year, it's the same game.
Right.
I mean,
the trailer they showed looked beautiful. Like,
yeah.
It's going to be, you know, it's going to have that feeling of, like, you know, The Last of Us game was, I think. It's a survival.
Feels.
It's going to get me in the feels. But I don't know.
It's a year change, and like I don't see any gameplay differences or improvements, or they didn't show off this new feature or what have you.
And I think that game is not very far in the production of it as well. So we got a while to let it percolate and get better. So, we mentioned Crackdown. So let's move on for Microsoft then.
Microsoft was fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Microsoft, for making games.
Thank you for finally making a console-focused.
Game-focused.
Yes.
A game-focused conference, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Unlike Sony, who we're going to get into right now.
Who sat there and talked about everything else.
Right. Yeah. let's talk about numbers. No, let's not talk about numbers. Let's talk about games.
But then they kept saying we're on the emphasis of games, and then they kept rattling on about everything.
Well, they did talk about games. I will give them that. But their press conference was way too long, and they needed to trim back that fat a little bit. And there were so many technical difficulty problems, which I've done live TV before, and I know there can be problems, but... Damn. When you're that big of when you're broadcasting to millions and millions of people, you would think you would hire a better audio guy.
So I have not seen the Sony press conference. So fill me in what was the deal?
There were just people would come on stage and they would start talking and their mics weren't up.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't like they weren't up for like 5 seconds. It was like 25-30 seconds into they were talking.
Yeah.
It was a combination of it too, with lights and microphones, because the guy would start talking, the camera wouldn't even be on him yet.
Yeah.
And the lights wasn't even on.
Right. It was just a big clusterfuck, really.
Like the conference had lag and had timing issues. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. But the games they showed were nice. That was a good part. Let's talk about Destiny. I'm actually, as we speak, downloading the alpha right now.
I started up the alpha as I was waiting for an invite to the show.
How was it? Did you get to play
it
all?
It's pretty. The one thing I do want to say about it, it feels like Halo. It looks like Halo.
I could tell that.
See, exactly. That's been my issue with it the whole time. It's Halo.
And it's not a bad thing, because now it's a bicycle that you've already ridden, that you know how to drive it, and it's not a hard transition into the game. And then once you start battling bad guys, it's a serious version of Borderlands.
Okay.
You shoot, you see numbers pop out, you grab loot, and you start moving on.
I think Kim's going to like that one.
Yeah, right. Borderlands, hello.
Yeah.
So you're basically saying it's Borderlands meets Halo.
That's sold right there.
Very, very... If you boil Borderlands down and you trim away the funny jokes and the cel-shaded animation and the love for the characters, and you get what the game core is about, that and then they shoved it in Halo's ass, that's what it is.
So you get the boring storyline from Halo?
Yeah, the boring brown eyes story.
You have to save us. You're the only one. And all the people on the server.
Right? So what you're saying is if it plays like Halo and it looks like Halo, then it must not be Halo.
Yes.
Yes. I'm gonna definitely give it a shot tonight. Exclusive content on the PS4 version. There's going to be an exclusive white PS4. Look, they can make white plastic again. How amazing.
As of the PS1.
Is it the albino?
Right. The Order 1866, that game looks pretty, pretty awesome.
Yes.
I concur.
If you listen to the Surly Nerd, okay, Capcom, here's how you can fucking walk backwards and shoot your gun at the same time.
Capcom's like, you want us to do what?
Right? That doesn't... You want us to chew gum, too? What? How can we do all those things?
So you're saying walking forwards, but not moving forwards. Is that what you're going with this?
I mean, it looked cool. It gave me a very Castlevania vibe to it in style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was a cool... Like, it was like a weird... It was like a vampire, werewolf, demon type of thing. Interesting.
It really gave me the feel for, like, Resident Evil Code Veronica, where...
Yeah, that's what I initially thought. Something like that. Some type of that game like that when I saw it. Yeah.
Really horrific, but you're still empowered in being a badass at the same time, but you're still surviving. I don't know.
Yeah.
All they had to do was name that guy Van Helsing, and you would have a Van Helsing
thank you.
Game.
It was like, is this... Yes. Van Helsing, the video game? Yeah.
They probably would have sold better if they... Instead of creating a new IP out of it, but...
Or Underworld, the video game.
Did they make a Van Helsing movie?
Yeah.
They made a movie made a and movie. A video game.
Yeah.
And a video game.
Were they good?
No.
All right, then I retract my previous statement then.
No. let's move on to Entwined, which is an indie game made by some college students, apparently, and another one of those things available the same evening. I like that trend. Mm. I wish more games were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Infamous. Yeah, that's all we got to say. There's DLC for Infamous, which apparently you don't have to actually own the game. It's called First Light.
Microsoft should learn from that.
Yes, indeed. could not agree more.
And it's got a female character, so yay.
Because they did that before. They did that with something of blood. Bordello, Rondo of Blood. What was that PS3 game where you fight vampires?
Van Helsing? No.
Blood Rain?
No. No, it was an Infamous game on the PS3 after Infamous 2 came out.
That Festival of Blood or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Festival. There you go.
Carnival or Festival, one of those.
Happy times in Vampire Land.
Yes.
In Cage
of We mentioned Little Big Planet 3 earlier, so now there's three other characters in the game and nobody cares.
Yeah.
What let's looks move like on an to albino grimace.
Right, it does. Get heavy again. Really?
Yeah, that end of the trailer where they couldn't launch.
Yeah.
Seriously, I would have. All the characters should have looked at him. Was like, stop being so fat in here, and then like,
right. Far Cry 4.
I am definitely amazed.
Yes.
And I mean, even though it sort of looks like the last games, it's a different environment. It's like in the Himalayas this time. And the whole thing reminded me of Expedition Everest.
And the film reminded me very much like Vaas as well from Far Cry 3.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a great game no matter what. And that comes out this year, right?
I think so.
I believe so.
Maybe.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Yeah, it's just November, it looks like.
Wow.
November's okay. Coming out.
There's going to be a lot of good games coming out.
Yeah.
A lot of good games coming out this November. Start saving up now, yeah. Boys and girls.
First Christmas.
First Christmas. Tell everybody your second Christmas.
Okay, so I figured that there's First Christmas and Second Christmas, and Second Christmas is the February-March window for video games. After you've got all your gift cards from grandma and the rest of the family, and you paid off all the rest of your credit cards, they want you to spend more money on these other games. And they're not, most of the time, they're not like your AAA A-title games that are going to go before the Christmas rush. But these are the ones that are like, hey, check this out. There's no other game like it now because everyone's got money or still trying to survive with money.
So
that's
exactly.
My second Christmas.
Get your tax return back. We got some video games.
Exactly.
For you.
I forgot yes. About tax returns.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Because I never
yeah.
Got any money back last year.
Aww.
Let's move on to a game my wife played a lot of, Dead Island. Dead Island 2 was actually announced. And I liked the trailer was a lot of fun. It was very funny.
Yeah. They always have great trailers. The last trailer was crazy. It was cool. And then, you know, for this new game, you know, I'm excited for it. I played the other one. I played way too much. Me and my brother played that way too much, the first Dead Island. So I'm looking forward to it. I know it can be tedious and, you know, but I still want to play it.
I can't get over that song. It's it's so catchy.
What song is that?
It's, I don't know I literally Shazammed it while listening to the trailer.
Oh, that was smart.
Shazam.
Yeah.
Shazam. Yeah.
So while you're looking that up, let's talk about the new Battlefield game, Battlefield Hardline, which is basically, Payday meets Battlefield. And I'm glad they're going in a different direction because not every game has to be a war game. You know what I mean?
Not every war needs to be a war.
That's right.
What's so civil about war, anyway?
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you?
What is it good for? Absolutely
nothing.
Oh, geez.
Now I just got the image of Fat Axel trying to sing in my head.
Oh.
I got Jackie Chan.
What? Okay, what?
From Rush Hour, he was trying to sing "War." What is it good for?
Oh yeah,
not the Guns N' Roses song.
So what do you guys think of the Battlefield game?
Battlefield with cops and robbers?
Yeah, I think you got it right. You nailed it right on the head right there.
I have a buddy of mine that actually got into the beta seconds after they announced it online. So during the conference, what was it, the Xbox conference or was it the Microsoft? Microsoft or Sony? I don't remember which one, but they said, hey, here's Battlefield Hardline. Now go on your PS4. Yeah, it was the Sony console.
Yeah, Sony.
Go on your PS4 and download the beta right now. Apply for your key. And literally, like, I tried getting onto my phone, and the server DNS 500 crashed on me seconds after looking at it.
Yeah.
I did that for the Destiny. They said, you know, whatever / Destiny, I was trying to go on there. It was crashing. I could not get onto it. Except for, like, I think 20, 30 minutes later, I was able to get on.
Okay. But
same thing.
A buddy of mine's been telling me, he's a friend of mine at work, and he goes, man, that game is really, really havoc. Like, it's a... It feels and looks like Battlefield 3,
mm-hmm.
just slower.
Okay.
And I was really surprised by, like, with the gameplay that they showed us. And but he goes, the game's not pretty. It's very, very early alpha, and they're probably stress testing the hell out of it right now with all this and riding the hype train. But he said he finds Destiny more polished than the other one, than Hardline. Mm.
Really?
So hopefully that this is just an early alpha, and you know they'll add some more graphical assets and stuff like that. Maybe they just rushed it out just to get that download now beta vibe going.
So let's go on to an announcement that I know a lot of people were not expecting ever. LucasArts, when they got bought out by Disney, all their games pretty much got canceled. And then nobody ever thought that they'd be pulling old games out of the vault, really. the Disney vault now.
Yeah, very Disney.
But they announced Grim Fandango for the PS4 and the Vita. I know I'm excited for this because I love the old LucasArts adventure games. And I know personally somebody who is probably going to buy a PS4 just to play this game now. But at the same time, why not make a sequel to it?
Well, maybe this is testing the waters.
What kind of reception is it going to get?
Yeah. Is there still a big, you know, want for it?
It's easy to remake a sprite and make hype than to build a whole new game and get disappointed.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Perfect Dark. Everyone was so hyped that they made a new Perfect Dark on 360, and it ended up being hot garbage.
Yeah,
I did play the hell out of that game, though.
Now, did you play the game out of, like, I don't have anything else to play, or was it...
It was me and a friend.
You genuinely really enjoyed it.
Me and a friend online were achievement whoring it up, trying to get the 1,000 headshots, 1,000 this, 1,000 this, and... Spent tons of time fighting against bots. It was pretty ridiculous. I'm ashamed to say how much time I spent on it.
Don't feel so bad. I spent, I think, 86 hours in Viva Pinata. So.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
I don't think I can speak to you anymore.
That game is like the Xbox Lava Lamp. Like, you watch it and just... Like, oh, okay, he's about to eat him. Let me put this in front of his face.
It inspired a TV series too. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it was time well spent by myself.
Old school.
So I guess Sony did talk about a lot of indie stuff too, because they're really focused on indie games. And one of the best looking games, from a lot of people saying, is No Man's Sky. What did you guys think of this game?
I didn't watch the Sony press conference, but I've seen the stuff about No Man's Sky. I don't even really know what it's about, but I want to play right now.
Right.
It looks so cool.
And it's a really small team making this game. They got a lot of, you know, conference time.
They got a lot of love for this one. A
lot of love.
Like Jurassic Park.
And they say that... What?
I just thought dinosaurs. It's like Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, the dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, dinosaurs.
And they say
that's exactly what was going through my head when I saw the Triceratops.
Yes, like, exactly.
It's like walking through the Universal theme park and you come up to the Jurassic Park gate and that music swells and it gives you those feels, man.
The mechanical pterodactyl fly above you on the zip line.
Yes, exactly. They say that game that it's randomly generated mm-hmm. worlds, so that's very interesting to me.
Yeah.
I think me and you talked about it on the other show. We were like, I couldn't think that these guys that are a part of this this team building the game were like, oh man, let's play Borderlands. Not one gun is the same. And his drunken friend next to him was like, I'm going to make a better game. Well, now one world's going to be the same. And he did it.
He did.
So this game was a drunken bet?
I remember all thinking in my head, it was like, fuck Borderlands, I could do this.
I could do the world. What other indie titles excited you guys?
Broforce.
Oh my god, I can't wait for that game.
So have any of you guys heard about Broforce?
Is it Brotastic?
It is Brotastic.
It quivers in my bro loins.
Bronomical.
So Broforce is a 16-bit side-scrolling, explode everything, punch, shoot everything on the screen kind of game. And all the characters are modeled after old 80s and 90s action heroes like Bro Rambo and RoboCop. And
RoboCop, yes indeed.
This sounds amazing.
It is every anyone that shot a gun in the late 80s or 90s is in this game.
Yes, it's available now on Steam, so I mean it's on PC right now.
Yes.
PC.
Cool.
PC.
I highly suggest going to the Steam site right now and checking it out. Keep listening to us though.
Do it afterwards.
Yeah.
Or multitask.
So let's talk about a couple of non-game announcements.
$11.99 on Steam.
Worth every penny. I pay more.
On sale right now.
So let's talk about PlayStation TV. $99 for this little box that's going to be playing Vita games, basically, right?
And streaming PS4 games to your other TV.
Yes.
Right. And it plays Netflix.
So it's your...
Because I needed one more device in my house that plays Netflix.
And God forbid you should have Verizon as your provider.
Oh.
Right? Because my toaster plays Netflix, my other little new system better too, you know?
It's a glorified video game-driven Apple TV.
Yes.
Basically, yeah. Now, here's my big question. It plays Vita games, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Will it take the actual cartridges?
Yeah. Yes. It'll take the cartridges, but the games that aren't compatible are the ones that heavily rely on the gimmicky touch screen and the back panel.
So Tearaway and games like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the camera.
Why not use the PS4 controller and just use the touchscreens on those?
Because you don't have a touchpad on the back.
No.
You're still a button shy somewhere.
And so also, what the DualShock 3 is what they bundled with it, so maybe no compatibility.
So I'm trying to figure out what is the point of this system? I'm a little confused.
I'm probably buying one.
I'm not saying I'm not going to buy one at all. They probably will, but don't shake your head. We are. What is the point? You know, when you already have a Vita in your house and you have a PS4 in your house, and you know everything plays Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that shit. What's their big saying about this that's going to differentiate it from all the other ones out there?
If you have a little brother that likes to hog the TV. Apparently that's what the commercial was explaining. To me, I think they're trying to handshake this with their PlayStation Now service. If you have a PlayStation TV, you could stream all the games that you buy on PlayStation Now or on PlayStation Plus that could go right to the system. I mean, there is quite a bit of fundability to this. It just depends on Sony. And the only problem with Sony...
Wait, did you say fundability?
Let's move on. Let's not... this is what happens when too many brain cells collide at the same time.
Start making up your own words?
Yes.
Like oldness?
That is... Sir, there is a culture behind that.
Strategery.
Fundability.
Yes.
I'm using that from now on.
I lost my train of thought. Fantastical.
You say Fantasticore?
Yes.
Fantastical.
I really did lose my train of thought.
You mentioned PS Now, though. That the full beta for that comes out July 31st for everybody to use, and I actually know somebody who's in the beta for that,
mm-hmm.
and it just went live on PS4 a couple weeks ago. And believe it or not, the system, it does work.
So is that a kick in the face to On Live? That, hey.
Yes, definitely. This is the thing that Sony spent all that money buying the whatever, I can't remember the name of that company.
Gaikai,
there you go. This is what Gaikai has turned into. This is PlayStation Now. You can basically rent games straight from your system, and it does work.
Would you guys? So the price points on there are what, $3 to $20?
From what I've been told, the person doing the beta right now, all the games to try out are for free.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to pay for anything right now.
Well, I mean, like, there is a price structure behind it.
Yes. They said about from $3 to $20.
$3 to $20. And I guess it's depending on the game or the popularity of the game or the length of the rental. But, I mean, to me, that's right. A pretty good deal. If I get to play Catherine for a month for $5, rather than paying the $35, $40 that game is still sitting at right now.
You have delusions of grandeur.
It's going to be $5 an hour.
$5 a day, probably. Something like that. Because I'm sure the cheaper games are going to be like the PSN games from like the old last generation, that type of thing. $20 games, I mean, that seems a little obsessive to me. That seems way too high.
Yeah. I'm looking up it right now.
It might be buy to own, maybe, or rent to own.
And we talked about that before. It's like, okay, so I've rented this game for 2 weeks, and I've paid, say, $18 to rent this game. Now I want to buy this game. Can I use that money that I've already spent to rent it towards the purchase of the game? And that's the big question.
Probably not.
Probably not is correct.
But, I mean, like look at the reality of it already. Like from 10 years ago, if you liked the game from Blockbuster and then you want to turn around and buy it, you're just going to buy the fucking game.
Yeah, that money is just gone. It's like renting. It's like renting a house, you know?
Yeah. You sink money into it, you sign away for it.
Yep. So let's talk about the other thing they did announce. They brought out one of my favorite comic book writers, mm-hmm. Brian Michael Bendis, for way too long to talk about the Powers TV show that is going to be coming out on PlayStation only. And comes out in December, and if you are a PS Plus member, you get it for free.
I missed this part of the conference. What is this?
Powers is a TV show coming out on the PlayStation Network, or PlayStation TV show.
TV station?
TV network station show? So
what is it about? So like
TV station.
Powers is a really cool, it's a really good comic. It's one of his creator-owned comics that he wrote. It's basically, think of a crime noir story set in Superman's universe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's actually really good. And I hope the TV show can live up to that.
So, wow, there is a real push for the multimediums going on to interactive mediums.
Yes, exactly. Because, I mean, they showed a little bit of the Ratchet and Clank trailer for the and they said in theaters. And I don't know, that movie didn't look quality enough to be in theaters.
You think it's a low-budget CGI movie?
Yes, I mean, when you compare that to like Disney and DreamWorks and all that kind of stuff,
that's AAA there though. Like,
I know, but that's where they need to be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're fan, you already have some kind of little fan base going on, and they push for the success of it, that they will get a better studio. Maybe I don't know. I can't think of this site right
you
now.
You know the worst part of the Ratchet and Clank movie
is not being.
No, I love the Ratchet and Clank games. It's not being able to press start to skip forward and play the game.
Yeah.
So, what else do they show at PlayStation? Mortal Kombat X?
Okay, did you guys watch the fatalities?
Yeah. I did.
I did not watch the reel yet.
Oh my god.
They are brutal. Yeah. Awesome.
I think they took a page note from, like, Saw or something like that, and they were like, that looks like it hurts. Yeah, put that in there.
Let's do that.
And do it slowly.
What do you think is the most brutal and most gruesome thing we could put in the game? Yeah, let's go there.
Go there and do it a step further.
Exactly.
Well,
the game looks fun.
That's what Mortal Kombat needs to be. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. That's exactly where they need to be, right? Because that's what Mortal Kombat was from the beginning, was it was the gore fest. I mean, and it's so tame by standards now, but it was so controversial when it came out. Because
and I like that band, too.
Gore?
Gorefest.
Gorefest, okay.
No, there's a band called Gorefest.
Yeah,
but it looks like they took a lot of their the gameplay style from Injustice, which is cool, and they're just in there they bringing it back up to that Mortal Kombat brutality.
Well, who was interviewing him? Someone was interviewing Ed Boon, and he goes, "We took elements for it, but we didn't use Injustice because that's okay. Injustice's baby right there is the elements in that game style." So they're basing it a lot more of the classic Mortal Kombat from Mortal Kombat 9 and then just adding, oh, you could jump on the wall to move faster, to make the gameplay a little bit faster, not break it up and use it as a part of your moveset.
Okay.
Like when, for instance, where they're on the dock and he grabs one of the dead mermen or what have you that floats on there, he grabs it and throws it at him. It just stuns the guy and allows the guy to move in to actually do the attack. It wasn't real damage. It was just to get the fight going all over again.
I mean, they're going to be announcing characters for a long time to come on that game, probably up to release. So,
yeah,
I mean,
I was surprised
Cassie
was in there.
Was that?
Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade have a daughter named Cassie Cage.
Oh, that's who Cassie is. Okay.
Yeah.
You know way too much about the Mortal Kombat lore.
Oh, he writes fanfic, right?
Do you write fanfiction?
I came up with the idea.
Oh, no.
But Cassie was a guy with a woman's brain. They would have never went for it.
Okay, moving on from that.
A little Spider-Man for you, huh?
Wow, yeah. Okay, let's touch on the last couple of things that they brought up in PlayStation conference. Grand Theft Auto 5 is coming to PS4. Okay, let's move on from there.
I sold my copy today.
Did you really?
Yeah. You could sell it at Best Buy for $20 right now. And that's a pretty good trade-in.
Yeah.
In your 360 games and will transfer to the PS4.
Yes. So the way I think that's going to work is your save goes into the cloud and you log into Rockstar's social club.
Right.
And you log back into whatever console that you're working on.
And download that back over there.
Yeah.
That's true. Here's a game that JD is probably really excited for. Can you guess what I'm going to say?
Oh, I know exactly what you're going to say.
The Last of Us Remastered.
No, that was not it. Thank you for playing, sir.
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
I am so...
Tell us about this game.
You have 16 hours to talk about this?
No, unfortunately.
No, the game looks really good. They introduced a lot of mechanics in there. If you played any of the PSP games, there was a system called the Fulton system, which you attach a balloon onto someone and it shoots them up into the sky and you can pick them up, similar to like the Batman movie.
Coming up next on our next podcast, we will have Metal Gear Solid podcast.
But they added a whole bunch of stuff that Kojima has been screamed at about for bringing back in the game. They complained that the cardboard box wasn't there, so they brought that back. And the full system, they put that back.
Yeah,
they fan served the hell out of this conference, and they gave us a 5-minute trailer, which was kind of gruesome. If you actually caught the Japanese version of it, there was an extra minute and a half, which was really cool. I digress, because I could be here all night.
So, let's move on. So, yes, the Metal Gear Solid 5?
Yep. I'm buying it right now. Again.
So they did mention, we touched on The Last of Us Remastered, which will have the DLC for that as well. If you haven't played that game, definitely wait for the remastered version, because it's a beautiful, beautiful, heartfelt game that's definitely worth playing.
Don't watch any of the trailers, because they said all the spoilers are in the trailers.
That's true, they did spoil a lot of the game in the trailer. Let's see, Batman Arkham Knight. That's already been pushed back till second Christmas.
Trending. Hashtag the shit out of it, please.
We are going to hashtag second Christmas. it looks like it's a Batman game. It looks great. Rocksteady's back at the helm. The draw distance in it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But there was still there's still that you know, that what engine are they using? I can't remember now.
I don't know. Hold on, let me get to my notes. Doesn't say. So they're using that new engine that looks really good.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of pop-in problems still.
Are they going to have DLC where he flies through rings?
They will already have that in the game.
There's no rings he has to fly through.
Like. There's VR missions like all the other games, too.
And I think like this one is really good because they're stacking the older games on top of each other.
It's Unreal Engine 4.
Unreal, thank you.
Even in the Unreal, new one?
Yeah, the Unreal Engine has always had a problem of pop-in.
Yeah.
But it looks
good. But it's apparently the first game that's running on Unreal Engine 4.
It looks beautiful. I will give it that. And I'm looking forward to it. It just sucks it's not this year now. But the last game they mentioned, it's not really a game quite yet, Uncharted 4, A Thief's End.
Yeah.
That's a pretty ominous title right there.
End.
An ending.
Spoiler alert. One?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert in the damn title.
Ship sinks.
But is it a twist? Is it him? Is it someone else?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. And what could be Sully?
It could be Sully. It could be, I don't know.
Why does Nathan Drake in every single trailer wake up at the beginning of the trailer? Come on, dude. You gotta stop going on this bender.
He's narcoleptic.
He might be.
A narcoleptic hero. He doesn't go on benders, he just gets lost.
You know, they've never made a video game with a narcoleptic hero.
That's a game mechanic. Yeah, that's a game mechanic.
That's a game mechanic that needs to be made. You'll be playing your game and all of a sudden screen goes black and you can't move your character for a minute.
Yep.
As long as it's not real time.
It's like seeing through Daredevil's mask.
Oh. Good, because he can't.
You'll be in the middle of hell. Why is it so hot here?
You ever seen Daredevil's new girlfriend?
Neither has he.
Exactly. Let's move on to really quickly to Nintendo, and there's a couple other titles that I would like to touch upon that weren't really talked about in these conferences. I just inherited a Wii U, and I actually have been having a lot of fun playing a couple games on it. So Pikmin 3 is a lot of fun. Mario Kart is a lot of fun.
Mario Kart?
Mario Kart. Smash Brothers. I mean, what can you say about Smash Brothers? It looks about the same. It just different characters. Pac-Man and who else is Sonic and Mega Man.
Yeah, they added a princess girl from Kid Icarus. I don't know who that is.
Right, Kid Icarus.
Patina,
yeah.
And we got Wii Fit Trainer, come on. Doesn't get better than that.
It's all about that villager, bro.
The villager, man.
Yeah. He's
going to throw apples at your ass.
If you get a chance, go on to Google and search for Conan O'Brien, Clueless Gamer, does a review of... They got an early copy review of Smash Brothers. Okay. And it's damn funny.
It is.
So that'll give you... It gives you more gameplay than anything they showed in Nintendo, so... So let's talk about some of the other games. Captain Toad Treasure Hunter. Okay.
That sounds like a very phallic ride. Just gonna put that out there.
Yoshi's Woolly World. I do not like that title.
Yeah.
I know it's a sequel to the Epic Yarn or whatever it was.
Yeah.
It should have called it Epic Yarn 2, and that would have been perfect.
My girlfriend actually, as she started watching that, she was upset over the yarn style. And mm-hmm. as she watched more of it, it grew on her, and she's like, I might play it. It's Yoshi.
Yeah, the Epic Yarn game was a lot of fun. The Kirby one that came out.
Games like that are, I think, better on the 3DS. Not the console, but the handheld.
She thought it was very childish, Epic Yarn.
Yeah, and that's why I use my Wii U. I use it as a glorified 3DS. I only use the touchpad.
Yeah.
The gamepad for it, so... let's see, Legend of Zelda is coming out 2015, open world Zelda game, had beautiful grass.
Looked pretty, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
I hate to move that grass.
Grass for days.
It's
They need some emo characters in that game so the grass will cut itself.
How could this happen to me?
Let's see. Let's go quickly. Legend of Zelda Hyrule Warriors, which is a Dynasty Warriors game with Legend of Zelda characters. It comes out in September, actually.
It looks cool. It's very Dynasty Warrior-like.
It'll be better when it goes cheaper.
I concur.
Bayonetta 2, they announced, will include Bayonetta 1.
That's a pretty amazing deal.
Yeah, that's a good deal. And you also will be able to dress up as Samus and Princess Peach in the game, which is a little weird.
Yeah.
Let's talk about one of our oldest friends, Marcus, is excited for this game, Splatoon. It's a new IP. Actually, Shigeru Miyamoto has his hands in this game.
It looked interesting. I don't think it's a full... to me, it didn't seem like a full $60 retail game.
Yeah, it has that
Definitely not.
It has that indie game kind of quality to it where, I don't think it warrants the full price tag. But it does look kind of fun. Like
It does look fun.
Yeah.
So it totally reminded me of like Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, the game style.
Okay, so just on the mark of Nintendo, if it's not first party...
Mm-hmm.
The other games that are also announced, do they even warrant a $60 title? Like Splatoon, if Bayonetta was by itself, does it warrant a $60 price tag?
No. I have a hard time paying $60 for any Wii U game.
Okay, so...
they should be $50 out the gate, I think.
So we all agree that like the quality of game isn't really a $60 game, it's just... a $50 or $40 game with a Nintendo label that's the add-on $20-$30.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think you have it right. You have it on the head right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's one Nintendo first party game, the new Donkey Kong game, Donkey Kong
Jungle Beat.
Not Jungle Beat.
I don't know.
Typhoon Lagoon,
Jungle...
whatever it's called.
Crap.
Yeah, that new one.
Tropical Freeze.
Tropical Freeze.
We were all off.
Jungle Fever?
We should have looked at a Mountain Dew bottle. We would have got closer.
But that had a $50 price tag out the gate. So why can't all the games?
I don't know. Like, I have a hard time paying for a Nintendo game at all. Like I literally cringed a little bit when I had to pay the $17 to get Nintendo Land. And then I found out that you could get it free on the network for buying Mario Kart 8.
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I used that to buy my copy of Pikmin 3, so
yeah.
I think I got a much better deal than Nintendo Land.
Yeah. Well, we're going to play Nintendo Land just to troll the shit out of each other.
There you go. Well, at least you have a reason to.
Yeah, to hate each other more.
I guess we can really skip over the Ubisoft and, you know, the EA press conferences, because... you know, most of the good stuff they showed on there has already been covered in the other ones.
And sports, which...
Yeah. In the sports. Battlefront, though. We have to talk about Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to have to excuse myself to go to think about this game.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Star Wars.
Yeah,
go ahead. Go.
Finally?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, totally. Fine. Yeah.
You know,
you were without words for this whole deal.
What? Yeah, Star Wars. Yes. You know, I thought, you know, this game was canceled.
Yeah.
But apparently, it was so far along in production that they're going to have to release it, and hopefully, it does so well. Some of these other games that were canceled are not really canceled. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, as long as Battlefront's coming out, I'm happy. Really?
Yeah.
Really? I've been looking for the next Battlefront game since I played the last one. You know, everyone else has too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, Battlefront 2 is just one of those games that I've clocked so many hours on and was so good.
We used to
good.
Play the hell out of that game together.
Yeah, me and my wife, that's probably our most played game together is probably Battlefront 2. So
exactly.
Actually, sorry, off topic. Mirror's Edge, by the way, I was just reminded. Mirror's Edge 2 for the EA conference. I'm definitely looking forward to that as well.
It looks beautiful. I mean, I liked the first game, and if they can deliver another game that is a sequel, but it takes it to another level in a ways. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, sorry for stealing that there.
Now back to Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Enough about your running game.
I liked watching their mini documentary trailer for it, where they got to go to the Lucasfilm archives and stuff and go visit the locales. I wish I could do that. That was
that Dead Diary had so much production value into it.
It did, really. It did. It was shot beautifully.
And it was really cool to see them go to certain scenes with the toys and stuff and be like, oh, it's almost real-like, and then you see transition into game.
So we can all wholeheartedly agree that we're all looking forward to Star Wars Battlefront.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to summon Darth Maul, even though he's dead.
I'm going to go reserve it right now, actually. That's how much I want it now. No release date yet.
Yeah.
Could not even be this year, but it's coming.
2017.
I bet you it'll come right around the new movie.
It's going to be in races with Duke Nukem.
With Harrison Ford breaking his leg and all.
Right.
I know. Imagine how that works. New movie, brand new video game.
And they both tie in together.
Exactly. So they talked. They had a conceptual, proof of concept for Mass Effect 4, which is very, very, very early in its production, in its stage. So,
yay.
Not much to say about a game that's not really
for it, but it's way too early to get hyped.
You can't get hyped over pictures. You can get excited for the actual game being made. There's something happening. But you can't be like, oh my god, I need this in my pants now.
Go back and
play
it.
Wait, do you put your video games in your pants?
Ooh. Wait, you guys don't put video games in your pants?
No.
You grabbed the box and all. It wasn't even disc.
And that's what the controller's for.
Was that Borderlands, sir?
Yeah, no, Borderlands 2.
Excellent.
Borderlands deserves to be in your pants.
that's the best four-player co-op action you could get in your pants.
That's right. It's menage a trois.
Double dose again in the pants.
So what else is there that EA talked about? Sims 4, you can actually kill your characters die. Yeah, okay.
That trailer took a weird, dark turn, and then everyone was still happy about it.
What was up with that neighbor bitch? I mean, come on.
Gladys hating of
Gladys
so much
the bitch.
Over,
oh my god.
Over his poems, poor guy.
I know. He was just trying to be all, heartfelt, and she made him die.
She saw through that crappy poetry. Okay. I don't know. I'm a Sims fan. I mean, I've played 1, 2, 3, even played some of the consoles, but it's, I don't know. I mean, it's repetitive. It's the same thing over and over again. I'm still a fan, but I don't think I'm going to check this one out. I just have to wait and see, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of getting over The Sims. It's like, how many times can you just, it's like rehashing in a way.
How many times Mortimer could come over and have a strike up a conversation and steal your wife? That asshole.
Like I said before, as long as you can build a pool and take away the entrance to the pool and have him drown, I'm happy.
I would just stick him in the bathroom. That's what I would do, and then take away the door.
And then you take away the door and you leave a window and a phone. It's like watching people in jail.
Sims 4, Sadistic Edition.
That's right. Well, that's what it is, yeah. The Sims God Complex, That's what it is.
Peter Molyneux was just mad that he didn't make it.
Probably is. Let's see. Bunch of sports games. No need to talk about those.
They're making sports games this year?
Can you believe that shit?
Wow.
They're making a new Madden.
No.
Every year.
If you got good football, you're just going to play some football with other people playing football. And that's just great football.
The foosball.
The foosball. There's some high-quality H2O right here.
Though the game that I am excited that EA did put out was that extreme game that has no name that you could...
The Criterion game.
Yeah.
If it's like Burnout in any way, shape, or form, I'm down.
I'm all about that squirrel suit.
Right? They had that in the Far Cry game, too.
Yeah, which is I'll probably play that, too.
So maybe the squirrel suit is the 2014-2015 game thing, because for a while it was like, you know, you had the movies, it's all people with bow and arrows. So maybe that's the thing for video games this year, is squirrel suit.
I'll apply for that. Squirrel suits and, which one called? Giant Monsters.
Yep. Squirrel Suit Simulator 2015 is coming out.
Squirrely Wrath.
Okay, so we got some Disney fans on the panel here.
Yep.
Let's talk about Disney Infinity 2.0, the Marvel edition. What do you guys think about this?
It's going to churn money.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kids are going to beg for it at Toys R Us, and employees are going to die over it.
I will be one of those kids begging for it.
I want a Loki figure.
I'm sure that there's got to be a Loki figure. I mean, they've already announced, like, you know, Venom and then some of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Who else is going to be? Spider-Man, Nova. It's going to be cool, and especially combined with, like, what's already out there available now.
Yeah.
Because they say 2.0, everything is going to work for it. So it's not like everything you bought for Disney Infinity Part 1
mm-hmm.
is null and void. It all works for the new game. So
how have you ended up liking it, Carrie? I know the last time we talked about Infinity, you were kind of like, eh, it's kind of fun, but I haven't really played it. Like, it kind of... what do you think?
I'm still there.
Still there?
I think with the Marvel, all that, and the Avengers, that will spark up the interest more.
I think
honestly.
So.
Honestly.
I'm not even... Like, it looks really... kind of fun and like a thing I would enjoy, and so mm-hmm. I'm staying really far away from it because I'm not spending that money on all this stuff. I just can't.
Yeah.
You definitely would. I mean, if you collect any like Disney stuff like that we do, like Vinylmation, that kind of thing.
That mountain behind you?
Yeah.
The mountain behind me?
I got my pins right here.
You get addicted to the shit. I don't know what it is in the water there, but there's something.
Either get addicted or Disney you get pregnant. Infinity. One or the other.
What?
Something in the water. You either get addicted to it or you get pregnant.
I was about to say
in the water.
Disney Infinity gets pregnant now? Like,
you never know.
It'll get you pregnant. Disney Infinity 2.0.
Yeah.
When's Star Wars going to be coming out for it?
It's probably going to be a tie into the movie.
God. Imagine a level that's based it like Spaceship Earth in the background, and you have Mickey Mouse and then Spider-Man and like Darth Vader all in the same level together.
That's too much awesome in one place.
I'm happy.
I just want to ride Spaceship Earth with all them. Just like,
I know, right?
Sit and chill out. Yeah, I'm there.
I want Galactus to try eating the Death Star.
I want Galactus to try to eat the Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
They should repaint Spaceship Earth as the Death Star. Why not?
I bet you that's coming.
I bet you it is.
Or, I bet it is.
Or Jawas versus Howard the Duck.
Oh. Wow. There's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
So many to choose from. E3 is pretty much come and done this year. Everybody, give me a quick opinion on what you thought about the show.
Go ahead. Go.
No, I'll talk at once.
I had...
Everybody, wait. 1, 2, 3. Everybody talk at once.
All right, go.
Talk at once. Okay.
I had basically two other things that weren't on any of the press conferences that I was really excited about. Alien Isolation.
Yeah, we didn't touch on that.
Totally stoked for. That looks like the Alien game I've always wanted to play. And I kind of hate to admit it, but Middle Earth Shadows of Mordor looks like a lot of fun, and that's hard for me to say because I am a Lord of the Rings fanboy, and I really don't like when they start messing with my source material.
Don't you mean Lord of the Rings Assassin's Creed?
Yes, I do. But the whole like political side of it, like that whole thing with the orc tribes and stuff, I watched that today and I was like, man, that looks like a lot of fun, and it makes me real uneasy when they start messing with that with that IP though, because that IP is very near and dear to me. So
that's how I feel. You, Steven? That's how I feel with Devil May Cry, the same exact way.
Right. Oh, can't hear Steven.
David Nohiri. Nohiri the Eeries.
Or the Voices. So, JD, while he's working that out, give me your opinion.
My opinion of E3 overall?
Yes, sir.
The big guys hit it out of the park. There's a lot of things to look forward to in 2015. The shortlist, the games that I already knew about are almost a guarantee. Borderlands, the pre-sequel, made a huge appearance. Evolve is another game that I'm probably really going to buy. Drive Club, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it is cool to race from New York to Miami within 2 hours. I don't know how fast you're going to be going. But there's
I wish you could do that in real life.
Yeah, I'd be in Florida in a minute. But I like the fact that there's a lot of games that we can look forward to in the next year, within the next 6 months, and we already have a lineup for us to buy in 2015.
Indeed. We got Steven back yet?
Basically, I'm using my webcam mic for a minute. But
okay, that's fine.
I already touched base on everything that I was excited for. Really, Mirror's Edge 2. I about shat myself.
I hope you got clean pants on now.
Yeah. And then also, I was very excited over the Crackdown announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Crackdown.
Definitely.
Just the orb sound gets me going.
Now, what about sleepless nights?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Kim?
There's just so many good games I want to buy. I keep looking at my. I'm still on my 360, trying to, a big stack of games I haven't even touched yet.
Me and too.
All these games coming out, it's like I'm just not. I just have to quit my job, no life, just sit here and just play games the whole time. Just so many good games and just not enough time.
Therein lies the problem.
First world problems.
Kim, there is one game that I was very disappointed did not make an announcement, we don't know if it exists yet, is the next Saints Row game.
Yes.
Deep Silver needs to deliver it next year with Saints Row, Saints in Time.
Yes. Nice. Yes. I love
That'd
that
be
game.
Great.
I love that game. So many hours. So many hours on those games.
So many.
So
fun.
So many what?
I was about to say, so many dildo bats, so little time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And let's end it on that note, dildo bats. thanks to everybody for tuning in to this episode. Thanks to everybody on the panel. But thank you to Kim. Say goodnight, Kim.
Goodnight, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you, JD. Let everybody know where they can get a hold of you really quick.
You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/... S3 Prototype or facebook.com/altness is the actual website that I report for. Also, follow me on Twitter, S3 Prototype. Find me pretty much on, you could Google my name, S3 Prototype, and that's probably me. And if it's not, it's probably that stupid phone that came out a couple years ago.
Right. Now, Steven, where can people get a hold of you?
Basically on my Facebook or on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network. Or the Wii U, I believe. It's all the same on Hallowed 1014.
And you can find Steven coming soon to the Metal Geeks website as well. And look how I tied that all together.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you to David Armour. He's one of our great sponsors and one of our writers and one of my good friends. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled that we finally were able to work this out. And
We will do a full Metal episode soon,
excellent.
Too, my friend.
Excellent.
So let everybody know again where they can find Geekazoid.
Basically everything is I Love Geekazoid. ilovegeekazoid.com, I Love Geekazoid on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. So give us a follow and I'll see you on there.
Cool. Thank you guys. And as my friend James says on The Surly Nerd, good game.
Good night and good game.
Have a good night.
Good night and good game.
Keep it
and
geeky.
Guess what? Keep it geeky. Yeah, I was going to say that.
Beat you. Keep it metal then. Keep it metal.
Bread is done.
Enjoy your burrito.
Hey, Geekazoids! Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit msrcast.com. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.